Okay, we're talking to Professor David Payton of Nottingham University Business School about his research on the impact of family planning services on sexually transmitted infections. David, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about where this research is located in the efforts of the government to reduce teenage pregnancies?
Well, England and Wales have very high rates of teenage pregnancy relative to lots of countries in Western Europe, and the government is keen to reduce the rates of teenage pregnancy and has been trying to do this by increasing family planning access for young people, more family planning clinics in schools, morning after pill in chemists for under 16s free of charge and so on.
Now, you think that this might not have the impact that the government and the public expect?
No, I mean, there's a danger that when you introduce these sorts of schemes that you may capture people who are having sex anyway, and they may be less likely to get pregnant, and if they're using condoms, less likely to get a disease. But you may also encourage other youngsters to have sex when they wouldn't have done otherwise, and you may also change the risk-taking behaviour of young people. So when they know they have the morning after pill available at school on a Monday morning, that might change how they behave on a Friday night. They may actually take more risks, so we may end up with an increase in sexually transmitted infections.
So how have you gone about looking at the actual impact?
Well, I've looked at the progress of pregnancy and STI rates for teenagers from 1998 across a range of health authorities right across England. And I've looked at those areas that have increased family planning provision for young people the most, and those areas that have introduced the morning after pill in pharmacies for under 16s, and tried to examine whether they've had a greater or lesser increases in conception rates and STI rates than other areas. And the evidence is quite stark, actually. These sorts of measures seem to have no impact on conception rates, so the areas that have increased family planning clinics have not seen bigger reductions in conception rates than others. In fact, when you look at the under 18 age group, the evidence is that these areas have actually increased conception rates.
Okay, so it hasn't had the hoped for effect on pregnancies.
Unfortunately not.
And it's had some other unexpected effects. So tell us about your findings there.
Okay, there's a very strong and significant correlation between increasing clinic sessions for young people and STI rates, at least diagnosed STI rates, which is the only data we have. Those areas with more clinic sessions seem to be having faster increases in STI rates than other areas, which is of course quite disturbing for government policy.
So how confident are you about the truth of these findings?
I think in terms of conception rates, very confident. The data is very good in this country, and my findings corroborated by a lot of other work done in America in this country. With STI rates, I'm a little bit more cautious because we only have data on diagnoses. And we know that some STIs, you may have them, like chlamydia, and not know you've had them. So we may be observing an increase in awareness about chlamydia. One of the things I did was to re-estimate my results excluding chlamydia, looking at the other STIs. I actually found the same results there. Still, there was this correlation between family planning and STIs. However, my research is quite new in this area. People haven't looked at the impact of family planning on STIs before, so the results haven't been corroborated yet by other work. But I think, at the very least, the findings I've got are worrying for government policy, and I think they need to be taken seriously.
I think these are very, very disturbing findings, aren't they, that policy can't have an impact on something that we think is such a bad thing in society. What do you think, where should we go from here with it?
Well, I think it's a surprise to many people, because they think, well, if these young people were using condoms, they'd be less likely to capture disease. But of course, as economists, we know that policy can change how people behave. And that's what I seem to be finding. The one thing that does come out very strongly in my results is that areas that have improved educational qualifications and standards, they're the ones that have decreased conception rates, at least. It's less clear with STIs. I think that's one thing we can say, that if you want to reduce conception rates, you're more likely to do that by targeting deprivation, educational achievement and esteem indicators, rather than this sort of sticking plaster approach of more family planning for very young teenagers.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.